You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
Welcome back. It's great to have all of you with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. Some great conversation so far. Let's continue with Deke in Kentucky. Hello, Deke.
Hey, Paul. Glad you're taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to know, what do you think about Kentucky football this year? Do you think Chris Rodriguez is going to get to play? And do you think we make it to Atlanta?
I think Kentucky football right now has a chance to be the third best team in the SEC, and it's a tough. I mean, it's a conversation that went on all throughout Atlanta last week, and I think if you think pragmatically, it's the best choice. I mean, you can go for anybody you want. A&M, Arkansas, you can take a flyer on somebody else like Tennessee. I mean, you can go down the list. I just think Mark Stoops' program is best positioned. They've been disappointing at times in big games late in the season. They're going to need to beat Georgia at home to probably get to Atlanta, and that's really what it's all about. I thank you for your call. JD is in Tulsa. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, I think I understood earlier you said that you thought all games should be played on campus. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, yes.
So you think the Red River rivalry in the middle of the Texas State Fair with the history and tradition of the corn dogs and Midway and the beer and the 50-50 split, that should go to campus?
Well, there's always an exception to the rule.
I don't know if it's the right idea for us to be going to the SEC. If you think we need to move that,
but you know what? I haven't really thought about that game, and I've been there to that game once in my life, and it was spectacular. But ultimately, that game, as long as it still benefits both schools, and I was speaking more of Florida. The Auburn game many years ago, but that might be the outlier. The Army-Navy game obviously is a little bit different and unique. But, you know, as long as Texas and Oklahoma are in the same league, I think it benefits both schools to a degree. Would that game be better on campus? I think ultimately it probably would be, and I know that sounds like heresy.
No, I disagree.
obviously you're going to disagree, but I'm just giving you – I watched what I thought was the greatest rivalry in college football because it was at a neutral site every year be hijacked out of Legion Field, and I think it became a better game. That's the only game I've watched up close that has made that change. I think the Red River game is probably a cut above the Florida Georgia game. Because it does mean that much. Because Georgia, frankly, I mean, the Florida game is not as important as it used to be.
Right. Well, and like I say, OU Texas, that game doesn't happen in the middle of an empty parking lot. You know, there's literally, I mean, the Cotton Bowl sits in the middle.
I totally agree with you. And to me, ultimately, that's the issue. And I'm sure I'm making a lot of enemies in Jacksonville, but that game to me is a parking lot. The tailgating is in, it's still the same parking lot by the same river. I know the stadium's different, but I'll grant you this. Right? I would say for the time being, I'll concede your point. It's a good one.
Well, and hopefully you'll get to experience it here pretty soon. And
I would love to.
You who's covering it for the SEC. So I sure would.
But by the way, I know every time you make an absolute statement, somebody's going to come back at you, and I'm glad you did because I did overlook that game. So what I really don't like is this. I don't like these stale early season games in Atlanta, in Orlando, in Dallas, all these places. I tell you another game that needs to end immediately. As long as I'm being the czar of college football for the day, and Jerry Jones, you might want to turn the sound down. But Arkansas and A&M do not need to be – that game does not need to be in Jerry's world anymore. It's lost everything that matters. Was it Pittman or somebody that told me last week the last time that game – I mean, the game was half empty the last time they played. That should never happen. That game needs to be on campus. I would say right now OU in Texas is the outlier. It's the exception to the rule because it's played during the state fair. And it's an event in the biggest city in Texas, and it still holds up. But I don't think the Georgia game or the Florida game or that game in Dallas holds up to the same extent. Let's continue with more phone calls. George is in Alabama. Hello, George. Didn't hear anybody. Wesley is in Louisiana. Hello, Wesley. Did he sneeze on me? Is that what happened? Bless you. Ron is in West Virginia Beach. Hello, Ron.
Paul, as always, it's a fantastic honor to be on your show again, sir.
Thank you very much.
And I wanted to call in and talk about the Big Ten Commissioner, Kevin Warren, but before we go there, Paul, let's go back to last year. When Michigan played Georgia.
Okay.
And the score was 34-11. Okay, we'll hold on that. The year before that, Ohio State, Big Ten, Bama, SEC was 52-24. Okay. Now, we're going to go back on the Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren, getting all these TV deals and making all kinds of money. I would have a talk with the coaches in the Big Ten. Why are we losing in such big numbers? Why aren't we building our football teams like the SEC? And that is my point, Paul. And one more thing. You're going to love this. As you've talked about Tennessee many a times with their coaches and everything, I've been to Tennessee games. They're great people. I have a nominee for head coach for Tennessee. I know you'll laugh, but it's really true. Peyton Manning is the solution to that football team. What do you think?
Well, I don't think he's better than the coach they have right now because he doesn't have any experience at being a coach.
Okay. But I'm just saying, I know you like the coach that they've hired for Tennessee. Philip Fulmer, in my opinion, was one of the greatest coaches that Tennessee had, regardless of the problems, because he won the 1998 championship game. And going off this, I still think I-Man should win everything on your show. You don't have them on there, and I think he's great.
Thank you very, very much. Let's check out Jeff, who is in Columbus. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, what's up?
I mean, why does that guy got to bring up all those bad losses? I mean, come on, dude. I mean, is he trying to rub it in or something?
Think it looked that way. I think he was just trying to tell the truth.
No, I think he's forgetting some other games. I won't bring them up because you'll say, no, how many years back he's going to go. But he only remembers the ones that come out convenient. But, hey, Paul, you had this show today. And you bring up the Big Ten conference meeting, and you come out of the gate with Barrett Salee. I mean, is that the best you can do today, Paul? Barrett Salee?
Well, Jeff, we only have we're out of money. It's been an expensive month. I mean, we sent the whole crew to Atlanta, and we went to Destin, and we are literally we got how many days left in this month? 5 days left, and. We are rationing out our guests right now. We're over budget.
Yeah. And then the best thing is, Paul, I give you a little credit. You kind of challenge him a little bit. And that guy tap danced more than you tap danced back when I challenged you about Timmy B and Danny Sheridan not being on the show. I mean, these media clowns, they all are so arrogant. They all act like they're smarter than us fans. But, boy, you challenge them, and they squirm around like none other. I loved it, Paul. Hey, speaking of squirming, I tried to give your boy AC a public service announcement last week and told him to work his way up through the minors before he tries to challenge guys in the major league and all-stars like Jim and Squirrel and Legend and those guys. Boy, I'm glad you set him in his place, Paul. That guy's a nobody. He's a weirdo in my opinion.
Yeah, and Jeff, let me say I didn't do to him what you would have done to him or Jim would have done to him or Legend would have done. I mean, I was just toying with him like a cat toys with a mouse. I don't want to that's not my skill set is going crazy, going prison yard on a caller. That I'm a host of a program. We have plenty of callers who can do that better than I can, but I didn't like him threatening me because he threatens everyone.
Right. He doesn't have the credibility to challenge you yet, Paul, or never. He never will. I mean, the guy has no credibility. He just comes on and yells and screams. You can't even understand the guy. I don't think he understands what he's saying half the time. But, hey, Paul, speaking of Jim and Squirrel, I got to give props to Squirrel. He said he's retiring after 34 years.
Yeah, I mean, how about that?
When are we going to have a party?
That's a pretty amazing career, 34 years at the same company.
I got to admit, Paul, October will be number 35 for me.
Wow.
I mean, just grinding it out.
I'm just trying to make 9 with ESPN. I'm not sure I'm going to make it.
That's right. But you keep getting these big contracts whatever you do. That's the difference.
Well, no. I mean, listen, by the time they get down to our level after the Joe Bucks and the Aikmans and the Greenies and the Stephen A. Smiths and the Adam Nugget Schefters and the Woges, I mean, they're just splitting up table scraps for the rank and file guys.
I hear you. Hey, Jim, it's really good to have you guys back on the same page. The rapport is back, isn't it? I mean, you and Jim's rapport right now is on fire.
Yeah, no, it's scary how good it is. I mean, you ever been in one of those relationships back in the day when you're going, this every day is like the best day of my life. That's how I feel right now with Jim.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen the rapport better for a long time, and it's good, man. It's good radio.
Yeah.
It's really good radio. But, hey, that was a good interview. I really appreciate it because even up here in Big Ten country, I got to admit, I don't hardly know anything about Kevin Warren. I mean, the only thing I know about him is him and Gene Smith are super tight, and I'm sure he leans on Gene Smith quite a bit. But it was good to hear that guy interview that you know, gave us a little insight because, you know, that's the part that bothers me is I'd like to see the guy out, you know, more front and center on topics, you know.
Well, I don't think you'll ever see Kevin Warren do what Greg Sankey did last week. And I know this sounds like a plug, but Greg Sankey did an interview with literally every radio show in Atlanta and every media member. Kevin Warren does not have that skill set. He's a pretty boring lawyer, okay? I've had dinner with him. You know that. You know I know him. Right. That doesn't mean he's stupid. That doesn't mean he's not capable. He's very smart. But I think Kevin Warren's mistake, he decided, I am going to do whatever Jim Delaney didn't do, and it blew up in his face.
Right. I agree with you. And in some ways, you'd almost think the guy would have tried to do his best to follow through on what Jim Delaney did.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Delaney.
Obviously, Delaney was an incredible commissioner.
Jim Delaney will go down as one of the two or three greatest commissioners in college sports history, and he decided, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be a folksy guy. I mean, Jim Delaney was smart, man. This guy had a law degree from UNC, played basketball for Dean Smith, but he acted like some country lawyer while he was stealing your wallet. Kevin Warren kind of shows up in the $4,000 suit from the tailor on Madison Avenue like he's smarter than you are because he has a law degree from Notre Dame. I mean, big deal.
Right. But I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out, and it sure sounds like, which is no no secret. I mean, everybody's expecting it, but it's going to be real interesting to see who the Big Ten hooks up with besides Fox, not only with another network possibly, but the whole streaming thing with possibly Apple.
Yeah, you're right, and that's going to happen pretty soon, Jeff, maybe this week. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Up against the break, Bruce Feldman from Media Days in Indianapolis coming up here shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Bruce Feldman coming up shortly from Indianapolis. He is at Big Ten Media Days, where Jim Harbaugh drew probably some of the biggest controversy with his comments about his visit recently to a pro-life rally. Usually Harbaugh is controversial for his coaching, not his his special interests off the field. Let's check in with Will in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's going on, Paul? You all right?
We are doing great. Thank you.
AC's getting to be about as annoying as James was last year. But Bill Connelly on yesterday, and I mean, I'm glad that he's trying to spin. There's an actual fourth participant in the college football, but I mean, everybody knows it's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Who do you have number four, maybe?
I'm still working on that. You got any suggestions, Will?
I mean, I like Clemson's D, but I don't like the quarterback. I don't like the quarterback. I like Utah's quarterback, but I'm interested to see what Texas A&M does and how good can Kentucky be. So, but I mean, the fourth one's a toss-up for me. So, how is an ACC fan supposed to remain positive like the next 4 or 5 years watching college football? I mean,
Will, I was with a friend of mine today who dips into the ACC world, and I don't think if you're being objective, you can be overly optimistic. I think the new commissioner is off to a rather clumsy beginning. And I don't think they can spin their way out of this mess.
I don't know if you had time to read Andrea's piece that came out over the weekend, but it's never a good sign that institutions are sending lawyers to headquarters to read a grant of rights.
No, I try to shoot straight here. I think you have about 4 or 5 schools that if they could get out tomorrow, they would.
Yeah, I think that's playing into the whole psyche too. I mean, everything's so dark and depressing. I mean, we haven't lost a team like on the West Coast or the Big 12, but I mean, we might as well be DOA right now. So, I mean, it's depressing. And one thing is, I mean, that don't help is these Miamis and Florida States never really lived up to the bill even coming into the ACC either. But, I mean, it's just a real negative time to be an ACC fan, Paul.
I hear you. Hey, keep the faith, Will. I would say better days ahead, but maybe better days ahead after the worst days. Let's check in with Burke, who is in Ohio. Hello, Burke.
What's going on?
We're doing great. Thank you.
For sure. Hey, I just kind of wanted to call in and talk a little bit about the playoffs this year. Who you think the ins and outs of it, who you think's going to be in and out, and maybe talk a little bit about how the NIL is going to affect college football.
Yeah, in terms of the playoff, I really like Alabama and Ohio State. I think after that, you know, Clemson is certainly in the consideration. You know, does somebody sneak in from the West Coast? Is it a secondary school? Not a secondary school, but a second school from the SEC. I'm still kind of working on that, and we spent so much time on expansion that it's been difficult to do what we normally do here, and that's figure out what happens on the field. Let's take a break. Speaking of off the field, Bruce Feldman in Indianapolis, he'll give us the latest from Big Ten Media Days.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to have Bruce Feldman with us. He has been covering Big Ten Media Days, and there's so many things that are going on. We appreciate Bruce's time because when you're at these events, there's a lot of demand from everywhere. Bruce, thanks for the time. So day one is in, started with Kevin Warren, then we got to the coaches. Let's start with the beginning and Kevin Warren because there's been so much news connected to the Big Ten. You live on the West Coast. You've been able to see it pretty up close. How did you see the early part of the day with the commissioner?
You know, I think people wanted to really kind of drill down into when and what, and is there going to be more expansion? I think that is one of the subjects that has come up a bunch here just in the last 24 hours. You know, I think that there's one thing that just from the chatter I've heard is that it's one thing for what, you know, college presidents of these schools may have interest in, and it may not always line up initially with what the bottom line economics or what we think the TV footprint is or any of those things. And so I think it's a little bit depending on who you talk to, which people think what direction they're going to go in. And so it's like, you know, Kevin Warren's going to give really an address of the State of the Union for the Big Ten, but also I kind of think some of the initiatives he wants to hit, whereas a lot of us in the media really want to talk about the changing landscape as it is right now and where we see it going. And so I think that's why you get kind of a little bit of a muddled picture on this.
There's been so much said about Kevin Warren, the bumpy beginning and what he seems to be going through now. We had Daniel Libet on from Sportico who laid it out you know, pretty in depth. Regardless of what people think of him or what they say about him, the results seem to be favoring a halo over his head right now, don't they?
They do. I mean, look, you have some really desirable brands, starting with Ohio State. I think you had around him, you know, Barry Alvarez was somebody I know, the longtime Wisconsin coach and AD was somebody I think who has helped. But as you said, I mean, there was definitely rocky moments of a transition, in part going from Jim Delaney and how that office was run at the Big Ten to a newcomer to this who had come from the NFL. And then it's, you know, in the craziness of a pandemic and so much else that was tied to that. So I think what we're looking at is dramatic change around the sport and around college sports in general. So I think it's hard to give him really kind of a grade with all those factors tying together. He's definitely, been able to leverage his assets, and I think he's leaned on some key people around him who are in his corner to help kind of guide him through this as the Big Ten is bracing or stepping up to a huge new TV contract.
And Bruce, give us the view from the West Coast on especially USC heading that direction. What do you think it's going to do for that program, which was already ascending with Lincoln Riley?
That's right. Yeah, I think it is a big 180 for where USC was a year ago at this time, where Clay Helton was still the head coach. Almost nobody wanted him as the head coach around USC. It was a little bit of dead man walking vibe there, and that definitely lingered on through his dismissal and then the interim, and then the program was just really in disarray. And then you fast forward, you have the Lincoln Riley hire, which has energized that fan base unlike anything that since the days of Pete Carroll. And on top of that, I think you have them being able to stock up on, starting with Caleb Williams, with some other transfers who I think will help take what was a very mediocre program and turn it into one that has a chance to at least win the Pac-12. And then this news where, you know, living on the West Coast, knowing a lot of USC people, there has long been a frustration of them feeling like we are the ones who are driving the boat for the Pac-12. There's no reason why Oregon State and Washington State and some of these other smaller brands in smaller markets should be making the same as USC. What USC is the one who drives everything for the league. And so now that they're able to go in to the Big Ten, where we're talking about a dramatically different landscape, certainly, but also the money that's going to come in, where now they will not be left behind when the haves and the have-nots, and it's really, when it comes to the haves, at this point it's basically the Big Ten and the SEC. And the rest of the have-nots. And if you're USC and obviously UCLA, you're able to leverage that. And so there is a tremendous amount of excitement. The fact that they're going in 2 years from now as a full member, as Kevin Warren said today, that was something that was clarified. Those are, you know, big steps for a program, especially at USC, that needed a big shot of adrenaline. And it's gotten that, you know, two big shots. First Lincoln Riley. Now the news that it's coming to the Big Ten.
Bruce, everybody thinks they know what's going on, but it all seems like it's about Notre Dame. I mean, that's pretty baked into the cake right now. Do you sense from the people with whom you visit, what's Notre Dame? What is Notre Dame's timetable right now?
I think Notre Dame would love to stay as independent as long as it's financially viable. I think ultimately, I think. Again, and no one's told me this, I'm not reporting this. My hunch is Notre Dame will eventually join the Big Ten, would be my guess, because I think geographically it makes sense. I think they see themselves more as a cultural fit academically with the Big Ten, more so than the SEC. And I think when you look at it, Paul, to me, the thing that I think will most likely drive the Notre Dame to join a conference in the Big Ten would be an expanded playoff, or if the leadership of these two big leagues basically make an offer to the other conference commissioners, and it's basically a take it or leave it. You've already made some really questionable decisions, turning things down. The train's not going to stay here for long. You may not like this deal. You may not think it is equitable. The best deal you're probably going to get if you want to be part of it. If they don't, I think, you know, there's a real, you know, Greg Sankey floated this, 6 weeks ago or whatever, about maybe we'll have our own. What happens if these two power leagues who are making most of the money decide we're going to have our own playoff? I think at that point, I don't think they would include Notre Dame. It's like the two power leagues and Notre Dame. I think they would include them if Notre Dame decided to be part of a conference. At that point, I'm not sure what the impetus is to include Notre Dame if Notre Dame isn't gonna decide to join a league, and I think that would only increase the revenue that much more for whoever it joins.
So, Bruce, in the event that happened, I realize we're getting deep into the hypothetical pool here, but let's say Notre Dame, whatever year it is, joins the Big Ten. What's Greg Sankey's move then?
I mean, to me, Greg Sankey has a position of strength where he has, you know, you're adding Texas and Oklahoma. You know, that obviously hasn't really, that they're not playing yet, but that's in the works. The question is, what are these other ACC programs that potentially, do they make you that much stronger? You know, does Florida want Florida State? I mean, in there, obviously Texas A&M wouldn't have wanted Texas. Texas has a much bigger pull and much more juice than FSU does at this point. Does, you know, is Miami a fit? Is Clemson a fit? Do they drive a lot more money? Do they seem like they make a lot more sense? Because I don't know how much bigger the SEC needs to get to change much. You know, I think certainly those three schools might be attractive in some way. I just don't know if they're, you know, if it's a cost benefit thing. I certainly don't think the SEC needs to be in the mind of we better poach or we could get poached. I don't think that's a real reality. So I don't think I don't think they need to be very aggressive at this point unless it's like an obvious choice that, hey, you know, that the SEC and ESPN decide this will be better for our business to add, you know, these two schools or potentially these four schools. Because my guess is, you know, the idea of a super conference is great and all, but eventually, you know, it's a lot to manage when it comes to other sports, and I don't know if it expands their bottom line significantly.
Bruce Feldman live from Big Ten Media Days. Many thanks, Bruce. Thank you very much for your time. We've had a pretty extensive conversation today about what's happening in the Big Ten because this is their moment. We'll take a short break. Back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, welcome back here. Late in the third hour, let's continue. Rob is in New Jersey. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
What is happening?
I've been meaning to catch you. I know you were off in the media days. I have to tell you, that interview that you did with the press box and the podcast, that was fabulous. I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah,
really
thank
awesome.
You very much for the that did that a couple weeks ago, and it was really cool. Brian Curtis, who's the editor of The Ringer, that's Bill Simmons' website,
yeah,
came down, and we spent about right here in this studio about an hour and a half. And I do a lot of that. I've never had more reaction to a podcast, and I'm not really sure since I can't listen to myself talk. So I don't know what it was, but I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, it was really good and just really enjoyed, you know, you talking through your history. And it was amazing, you know, myself being right outside of Philadelphia that you were that close to taking the job with the Philadelphia Inquirer, right? Just thinking about how different your life would have been. And for all of us, obviously, I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I'm sure you are as well. But, yeah, it was just a really cool interview to hear about how, you know, from Birmingham to the national scene. So really enjoyed it. And that kind of leads into my question, I guess. What would you say, Paul, right? I've always wondered this and wanted to ask you this. Your callers from the different schools and the different fans, obviously winning and losing factors into having more callers from one school or the other. But what do you, you know, what do you credit to year to year of when you may have, let's say, more Georgia fans calling in or Alabama? What are all the factors, do you think?
Yeah, thanks for what you said. And it was probably the most bare bones I've ever discussed my own career, which I prefer not to talk about. But hey, we did it. As far as callers, the show starts with the base of those who have been with us the longest amount of time. You know that, and you hear from them. Yep. And they often grumble about where we've come. I think then it really, I mean, outside of the known quantities, I think it really depends on what's happening. I mean, we've heard more Georgia fans than ever before. Why? It's obvious why. You don't hear fans from certain fan bases unless you have something. I mean, football fans are like any fans of any team anywhere, whether it's basketball, baseball, soccer, it doesn't matter. Fans like to talk about things for two reasons, either to extol the virtues of their team or to call for change, much like politics. The middle ground rarely has anything to say. When people are doing a good job, maybe not a great job, there's nothing to say.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I think I've told you before, I don't really, you know, I don't have a team, so to speak. I just enjoy the show, yourself, the callers. So every day is enjoyable to me. Whatever's happening, I enjoy it.
Well, that I'm really glad to hear that, because I think sometimes people really feel like we come in here with this agenda that we're going to, you know, bust everybody's chops. We don't. We have a very, very smart, thoughtful group behind the camera that we try to present a bunch of interesting interviews. They don't always work. You know that. And then we are depending on people like you to make this show interesting. And when they're not, it gets pretty grim. I mean, I have the bad habit of getting bored easily. So it's tough when you get a bunch of callers who are either on the wrong page or who are not connecting. But it's a live show. This is not a Hollywood sitcom where everybody has a script that they've memorized.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, hey, this is usually my favorite time of year because it means, you know, everybody's getting their vacations in and, hey, we're going to turn the calendar.
When is the wedding again? Is that in October? Is that right?
October 1st.
That is a football weekend. I'm still trying to get away. I'm making some really strange trips lately, so don't be surprised.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, hey, no worries. If you can make it, but I got the gift that you sent me, the signed picture. It's on my TV that I watch college football on, so my fiance and I get to look at you every night.
Well, you guys are the luckiest couple in America. Hey, thanks. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with David, who is in Florida. Hello, David.
Hi, Paul. How you doing? Longtime fan.
Thank you very much.
So I just had I wanted to put in maybe an opinion and then kind of predict something. I'm kind of noticing a lot going on with Tennessee and Pruitt with the NCAA violations, and I'm wondering, do you think they're a preseason house fire with all this kind of happening with them? And why are they above Florida in the East? And putting it to the point to me saying this, I know Florida had a rough season last year and we're starting with a new head coach, but with Tennessee, with Pruitt, and I think it's his third season there at Tennessee, I don't see him with the NCAA violations and everything going on right now able to pull this out as a winning season for him to even be able to be above Florida in the East to compete with Georgia topping the seed to maybe even seeing Atlanta.
Thanks, David. First of all, I respect your zeal for the Gators, but Tennessee should be ranked ahead of Florida. They're in a better position. I don't think the Pruitt story has anything to do with this season whatsoever. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think very many people in Knoxville are. Based on what I'm seeing on social media, the fans in Knoxville seem more upset with Pat Forty than they do Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, after all, Pat Forty and his wife were out there buying players for Tennessee. We'll take a short break. Back with much more.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.